Okay, Rob.
Okay, I feel obligated to present you just a little bit of information on this very important issue. On summer flounder for the recreational fishery in 2007. Ernie's chair of FMAC, so he knows some of the information, as does a lot of the industry. We have kept up constant contact. We do have an ad hoc committee that has been meeting for about 5 or 6 years to provide recommendations. And when you see the options, you'll know that they stemmed from either the committee or FMAC when I present them at the end. So the first slide, just to give you an idea of some background, very close background here, the flounder total landings, commercial and recreational, last year was 23.59 million pounds, and this year it's 17.11 million pounds, and that's by virtue of a congressional amendment, for lack of making it more complicated, because it was set to be 12.99 million pounds. So a lot of you probably have at least heard about that. From the 17.11 million pounds, there's a research set aside for studies to look at ways to understand the stock better or gear better, whatever it may be. So everyone ends up along the coast. This is coast-wide. Commercial and recreational, 16.7 million pounds. The recreational allocation is 40% of that amount, or 6.7 million pounds. And in terms of fish, for the entire coast's recreational fishery, all the states here, it's 2.4 million fish. One thing just noted here, the average weight has gone up quite a bit over the years, and that's a sign of a pretty healthy stock, although the one thing that's holding up opening up these fisheries anymore is the fact that the National Marine Fisheries Service has a rebuilding target based on spawning stock biomass, and right now the spawning stock biomass is only about 60% of where it needs to be by 2013. So if you look at Virginia, our target, it's called, for 2007 is 407,525 fish, and I think we rank third along the coast in terms of our percentage allocation, which is based on what happened in 1998. It's that simple. Whatever 1998 was is a reflection from then on until now. If you look at the landings for Virginia, 866,000. It was a very strong year. There are those who will question the data and the source of data from National Marine Fisheries Service, but nonetheless, I don't know anyone on staff who didn't hear that it was a very good year. And one problem with our 2007 situation, the target in 2006 was only 616,000 fish. So we were over target by quite a bit. And here you see the 2007 target. And so what that means to get from 866,000 fish to 407,000 fish is a 53% reduction, which is the largest reduction that we've ever had. We had a 49% reduction in the past, but it's a tremendous reduction. And the problem with all of this, it's year to year, and this quota is low, so maybe next year there won't be a drastic change like you have seen in the past, where one year you're at 15.5, the next year you have to go to 17.5. It's a unusual system, and all of these are potential, by the way. The reductions are required are 53%, but the plan we put in place that you have in your packet and all the states' plans are potential reductions. It could be possible that we would come back in 2007 with 600,000 flounder. Availability of the flounder is a key. Weather's a key. Out-of-state participation is a key. There are a lot of elements that go beyond the math. This gives you the track record from 1998, which is the base year. I won't spend a lot of time, but you can see that we have bounced around over the years in terms of our size limits. And in general, the targets we've had to work from are somewhat responsible for that. But one thing that's really different that should catch your attention is we had 2000, 2001, exact same size and possession limit. In same season, essentially, a little longer in 2001. But you look at the landings more than doubled with essentially the same regulations. And that's what's happened in 2005 and 2006. The exact same regulations, no close season, six fish, 16 and a half inches. And the effect is that in 1 year, we're under target by a lot, under 800,000 fish. In another year, we're over by quite a bit of the target then. So the targets are moving, first of all, and then the condition of the stock is changing as well, and then all the other factors I mentioned, which are unknowns right now for the 2007 season. So here it is again. It's a 53% reduction. If you look overall, someone might get some solace in this statistic, but I don't think any of the fishermen would, or those who support the fishermen. And this is such a big issue because it affects tourism, motels, hotels, bait, you name it. It's a tremendous income-generating fishery. If you look over time, compared to our average target, which would be 703.7 thousand fish, we've been fairly close if you average out all our landings. But unfortunately, we're not on a 10-year time frame for these. We're not even on a 2-year time frame. It's 1 year at a time. I'll tell you a little bit about 2006 because it was very extraordinary here. These are waves, and they're just two-month periods. Wave one is January and February, and there are no intercepts by National Marine Fisheries Service, so we start with wave two, March and April. And if you look at wave two across the years, you see that March and April of 2006 were pretty phenomenal, almost 181,000 fish. If you look at May and June, wave three, well, 414,000. It was substantial compared to the last few years, but it certainly has been equaled in three of the other years. So wave four, the same situation. It's not extraordinary. And these percentages kind of tell you the easy way to rank these waves. But when you see almost 21% in wave two, March and April, that was contributing quite a bit to our situation with 866,000 fish. As a matter of fact, just wave four and wave three alone are very close to what our target was for 2006, 616,000 fish. So there's all our overages. This is going to be difficult to look at, but it's a very informative slide. And the main thing to look at is this row percent total landings for each of the years. This starts at 2001 and runs to 2005. I expect to have the 2006 data within about a week. This has to be worked up by National Marine Fisheries Service, although staff here is progressing on being able to do this alone. And it's called a post-stratification. When you get data, if you've ever queried the website at NIMS, you can break it down into inland and ocean. And inland can be further subdivided into Chesapeake and seaside bays and inlets. This is not meant to be an allocation situation between the two or among the three. The ocean is very stable through the years, somewhere between 4% and 8.6% in 2 years. But the bay and the seaside are very variable, and you can see the effects of minimum size. This is misleading in 2002 because there was a 15.5-inch size limit in effect in April and May. So the fact that the seaside accounted for 56% of the landings, you know, you have to look at the size limit. It was 15.5. However, when a straight 17.5-inch size limit was throughout the state, you can see what happened to the seaside. It dropped by 40%, essentially. If it was 17 inches, there was some improvement in the seaside. The bay was still the strong component. At the same time, the stock is changing. over this time period from 1998. The size classes, the age classes are filling up with fish, and so the size effect might be a little less. And that's why when you have a 16 and a half here in 2005, it really, I imagine, there's no way for us to do this beyond a certain date, but I imagine this is more typical to the distribution to pre-1998, in that it's still a major bay fishery, but the seaside is somewhere around 35% to 40% maybe. I think we presented this at the ad hoc committee. We did not at FMAC because of time considerations, but, you know, clearly there's a size limit effect in one area, and in the bay, it's the closed season days which are counted on to do some of the reducing. And you'll see that in some of the proposals. Very briefly, this just tells you what we had to work with. It's a reduction table, and it says that depending on what size limit you are and what the possession limit is, you can gain a certain amount of reduction, or a percentage reduction, by varying your management measures from 2006. So in 2006, we're 16 and a half inches, six fish. You see a zero here because, you know, that's the same as we had in 2006. It wouldn't give us any reduction. In the orange, you can see that any of these options, and in fact 19 and 6 will be one of the options, any of these options achieve the 53% reduction outright. There doesn't need to be a closed season. However, anything in blue would require both some type of possession size limit change and seasonal closure. These are the options that stem from the ad hoc committee, in essence, because option 1, 2, 3, and 4 were recommended by the committee the night we met, January the 9th. Option 5 was an add-on originally, and option 5 was added on by a committee member, actually a couple of committee members, and it's also, when FMAC met, they said, we want to advertise all five options. However, there are always changes and twists in this process, and one twist is the technical committee met yesterday, and I'll go over the options first and then tell you those events. Option 1, 19 inches and 6 fish, no closed season. These have kind of shifted on me a little bit, but the closed season is none. Option 2, 18 and a half inches, 5 fish, and a dual closed season, January 1 to March 31st, and July 23 to 28. That would achieve a 53 potential reduction. Option 3, originally, before we went to the technical committee yesterday, 18 and a half and 3 with a one-day summer closure. Take your pick, July 25th or July 26th. Happens to be pony penning time, and that's why that was a popular option. Option 4, 18 inches, 2 fish. Well, your possession limit is smaller and your size limit is smaller, so the season closure is going to be longer. So you still have a spring closure as up here, but you notice that instead of just one day, you're looking at 16 days in July to make the 53% reduction. Option 5 was the add-on option. It was at 18 and a half inches, 3 fish, very similar to option 3, and instead of a one-day July closure, you could close January 1 through March 11th. There's a very small amount of reduction or savings from January 1 to March 11th. It's equivalent to one day in July. And that's based on when the landings occur over the 1994 to 98 period, which is our baseline for doing the season closures. Now, what happened yesterday is the technical committee said, listen, no point in having a one-day closure in July. It's only 0.3% of a reduction. We're going to recommend to the board that this option be recommended without that one-day closure, so 18 and a half and 3. Well, that in turn, as a couple of staff members came up to me and told me today, negates option 5 completely, because if there's no closure here, 18 and a half and 3 fish, there's certainly no need to have this option with a more restrictive January 1 to March 31st or March 11th closure when we haven't had a January 1 to March closure the last few years. So what staff would like to recommend is just advertising the four options, option 1 through 4, and the changes are that option 3 now has no closed season instead of the one day. Option 5 is gone, and options 1, 2, and 4 remain the same. Now, one other thing which became quite a discussion item, probably about 45 minutes, was someone on the technical committee invoked the two-week rule. And what's meant by that is the ASMSC has a technical recommendation that if you have a closed season, it should be at least 2 weeks in duration. So they looked at this summer closure and they said, well, that's not 2 weeks. Why don't you consider adding on to here and extend that closure? Or why don't you start at the end of the year and come into the year and try and get the closures there? And of course, my response was absolutely not, because there's no way that we would want to have a closure in April. And secondly, if we went from the end of the year, it's the same situation as the beginning of the year. The reduction would be very small. You'd have to go back into September easily to try and make that kind of reduction. That doesn't mean there aren't fish there and that the fishermen wouldn't want to fish. It just means historically, based on 1994 to 98 data, the landings are mainly in the June, July, and August period. So those are the four options, and that's our recommendation to take the public hearing.
General's recommendation. I think
that's
what we're going to do.
Yep.
Move to a move. All right, Mr. Chairman. With the four options presented.
You've heard the motion.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstaining, unanimous.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it.
Well,
I do.
David Wright, request for sea bass hardship exemption.
Been a long day, I know.
Give us your name and who you represent.
I will. David Wright, and I represent myself.
Okay.
I sent a letter, and I'll just go ahead and, I guess, read that. Probably going to be the easiest thing.
Well, just one. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
As part of your evaluations, you'll see a brief background on the exceptions that have been granted to date, as well as Mr. Wright's letter and a copy of the current black sea bass regulation for reference. And in the opening paragraph of the eval, you'll see what part of the regulation is referenced for hardship.
Okay.
Is the staff recommending approval on this?
Yes.
Looking for a motion, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this point, I would offer a motion in support of staff's recommendation that we issue a hardship permit consistent with staff's recommendation from Mr. Wright.
I'll second it.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimous.
Benefit of being a long meeting.
Okay, thank you. That was my.
He'd already been through one hardship today, Mr. Chairman.
Somebody's on the way happy.
Yeah, this would justify as a hardship. Be here all day.
Failure to report commercial harvest.